Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, entitled Hiranyakasipu, King of the Demons, Text 49. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atha Nityam Anityam Va. Atha Nityam Anityam Va. Na Neha Sochanti Tad Vidaha. Neha Sochanti Tad Vidaha. Nanyata Shakyate Kartum. Nanyata Shakyate Kartum. Swabhava sochatam iti. Swabhava sochatam iti. Ita nityam nityam va. Neha sochanti tad vidaha. Nanyata shakyate kartum. Swabhava sochatam iti. Ita nityam nityam va. Neha sochanti tad vidaha. Nanyata shakyate kartum. Swabhava sochatam iti. Atha nityam nityam va. Neha sochanti tad vidha. Nanyata shakyate kartum. Swabhava sochatam iti. Atha nityam nityam va. Neha sochanti tad vidha. Svabhava sochatam iti. Atha nityam nityam va. Neha sochanti tad vidaha. Atha nityam nityam va. Atha nityam nityam va. Neha sochanti tad vidaha. Yeah, sochati macchita. Anyata dukkati artum. Swabhava sochatam iti. Ladies. Ata nityam nityam va. Neha sochanti tad vidaha. Nanyata Shakyate Kartam Svabhava Sochitamiti Atha. Therefore, Nityam, the eternal spirit soul, Anityam, the temporary material body, Va or no, not Iha, in this world, Sochanti, they lament for Tatvida, those who are advanced in knowledge of the body and soul. Na, not Anyata, otherwise Shakyate, is able Kartum, to do Svabhavaha, the nature Sochatam, of those prone to lamentation. Iti, thus. Translation: those who have full knowledge of self-realization, who know very well that the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the body is perishable, are not overwhelmed by lamentation. But persons who lack knowledge of self-realization certainly lament. Therefore, it is difficult to educate a person in illusion. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. According to the Mimamsa philosophers, everything is eternal, nitya. And according to the Sankhya philosophers, everything is mitya, or anitya, impermanent. Nonetheless, without real knowledge of Atma, the soul, such philosophers must be bewildered and must continue to lament as Shudras. Srila Sukadeva Goswami therefore said to Maharaj Parikshit, Shrotavyadhini Rajendra Nrinam Shanti Sahasrasaha Apashyatam Atma Tattvam Griheshu Grihamedi Nam. Those who are materially engrossed, being blind to knowledge of the ultimate truth, have many subjects for hearing in human society, O Emperor. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Text Number 2. For ordinary persons engaged in material activities, there are many, many subject matters to understand, because such persons do not understand self-realization. One must therefore be educated in self-realization so that under any circumstances in life, he will remain steady in his vows. Hare Krishna. So this is a chapter where we're getting transcendental knowledge from Yamaraj, one of the Mahajans, who's posing as a small boy. He's given instruction, right, about the nature of the soul and the body. And in this verse he says, those who understand the nature of the soul and the body, they don't lament. People, 99.9% of the population, don't understand about the difference between the soul and the body. Basically, there's no education for understanding the difference. People are not educated in this science. People are more concerned about obtaining degrees. In engineering, degrees in science, philosophy, economics, right? And they do so much study in these areas, right? If you want to become an engineer, you have to study for 4 years. All right? Same with any degree. Right? You have to study and you have to give your time and you have to apply your intelligence. Right? But why do people spend their time, spend money? Cost money to go to college, right? It costs around $50,000 to go to Harvard University for 1 year. It's a lot of money. Right? So why are people ready to spend so much money? Why? Give so much time, so much effort. Crack their brains, so to speak. Right? The reason is for sense gratification. Right? It's all for sense gratification. Learning about the difference between the soul and the body is not about sense gratification. So you don't find a university that's teaching that. Right? But this is what people need to hear. To avoid lamentation. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that there's one set of philosophers that say this and another set of philosophers that say that. Right? But because they're not educated in understanding self-realization, therefore they lament like Shudras. They lament. Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was lamenting. Tears were coming to his eyes. He dropped his Gandiva bow. And he was crying. So what does Srila Prabhupada say in the purport in Bhagavad Gita? Tears and lamentation are signs of ignorance of the real self. Because Arjuna had become illusioned, thinking that his relatives, teachers, were their bodies, therefore he was hesitant to engage in the battle. Again, Arjuna didn't want to fight because he thought that if we kill all our relatives and grandfather, cousins, teachers, then who will we enjoy the kingdom with? So he was hesitating to fight based on sense gratification. Due to ignorance of the real self. Now, because of this ignorance, because of not understanding the difference between the soul and the body, simple fact, simple truth. Srila Prabhupada used to say, what's the difference between a dead body and a live body? Analyze this. This chapter is about this point. What's the difference between a live body and a dead body? The wives of Suyagya were lamenting, oh, our husband is gone. The young boy said, no, he's there. There he is. Huh? No, 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 he's gone, he's gone. So how is it that he's gone? Huh? Body's there. So that means, the young boy explains, that you never really saw your husband anyway. The person that answered you, that spoke with you, that interacted with you, you say he's gone. But what you see is the body, and here it's lying, and that's all you ever saw was the body. And the body's still here. So why are you lamenting? It means they never really understood the difference between the body and the soul. But in the at the time of the death, there's an awakening, right? There's some difference because he's gone. He's not there. Huh? It's called Smashin Vairagya, Gyan, understanding that comes at the funeral, right? And right after they light the flyer, body turns to ashes, so does the Gyan turn to ashes. They forget everything. And it's back to business as usual, right? So self-realization is something more than this, right? If getting a degree in engineering or economics or psychology or sociology takes time and effort, should not the science of self-realization take some effort? Huh? If we have to apply ourselves to ordinary material knowledge, should we not in the same way think that we have to apply ourselves in spiritual knowledge? And that means coming out of illusion. The verse says, trying to bring someone out of illusion is a difficult thing. Therefore, it is difficult to educate a person in illusion. The science of bhakti is there to help us come out of the illusion. Why? So that we can be educated in the science of self-realization. The process is there to help us come and see the reality, bring us to the light, to bring us out of the darkness and into the light. Why? So that we can be understand the science of self-realization. That we can realize our eternal identity as spirit souls. Anywhere you go in the world, there are so many newspapers, so many magazines, right? And people are very much interested in reading this. They like to hear, right? They have so many topics. One of the favorite topics in India I see is politics, right? Some political thing happens and people just stay glued to the television. Even though they're saying the same thing over and over and over again, they go on listening to it, hour after hour, the same thing. The home minister had some corruption with the cricket chairman, right? go on hearing about it. It's in the newspaper, it's on the TV, it's on it. Go on hearing about it. Same old thing. Is corruption in India something new? Is corruption in India something nobody ever heard of and now it's come to light? No. You can't even get your telephone without corruption. It's part of life. Right? But one party attacks the other party and the other party attacks the other party as if corruption is some kind of abnormal thing. But people become absorbed in it. They revel in it. Right? If they didn't, they wouldn't put it on TV. So politics. It's not just in India, it's everywhere. What does Prabhupada say politics is? The one person talks bad about the other person, and in that way, his audience thinks he's good. If I say, oh, what chore hai, that means I'm such kadmi hai. That's politics. Simple as that. Puna punas charvita charvananam. That simple thing. They go on chewing it again and again and again. Same thing over and over again. If you go to the Ganaraswala, cane juice, he churns out that juice from that cane. Right? Now once the juice is churned out from that cane, he throws it. But material life means that we pick up that cane where the juice is already out of it and we try to get some more juice out of it. Puna punas charvita charvananam. That's material life. Huh? And it's the same thing. Whether it's politics, whether it's sociology, whether it's science, no difference. It's chewing the chewed. And therefore, even people dedicate their whole lives. Srila Prabhupada said, gave the example of Gandhi. He dedicated his life for the people of India. And one of the people of India killed him. Right? He tried to make everybody happy, but he couldn't do it. Right? Somebody was definitely not happy with him. He was so unhappy with him, he came up and shot him with a gun. Right? Although he worked hard to try to make the people of India happy. John F. Kennedy, right? They shot him too. He was working for his country. Now is not the time to ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Okay? Well liked by everyone, but somebody didn't like him. So the effort to materially try to satisfy everyone is not possible. It will ultimately come to lamentation. Why? Because there's not education of self-realization. People do not know the difference between the body and the self. This verse talks about griheshu grihamedi nam. So Prabhupada explains that there's two types of householders. There's a grihasta and there's a grihamedi. Griha. People are very much attached to their griha and all of its trappings. Their house, wives, children's, Later on, grandchildren. It just goes on expanding more and more. So those persons that are simply interested in sense gratification and extended sense gratification, their own sense gratification and the sense gratification of their family members, they're griha medhi. Means envious householders. So this enviousness is there. Originally that enviousness is of Krishna, but it manifests itself as enviousness of one another. So one envious householder is envious of another householder. Right? And that expands itself more and more and more. One nation is envious of another nation. Right? Prabhupada gives the example of the war India had with China. Right? There was a war with China. What was it over? Some patch of land where nothing grew, there was only rocks. Right? No value, but yet they're fighting. Enviousness. One nation between one nation, one householder between one householder. Right? But they ultimately were envious of Krishna. We're envious of Krishna. Why? We think that Krishna, we see that Krishna is enjoying. Right? What is Krishna? We see Krishna playing the flute, enjoying with the cows, the gopis, the cowherd boys. He's enjoying. And out of enviness, the living entity thinks, well, I'll also enjoy. I'll also enjoy like that. And that's when we come to the material world. As soon as we think that I will also enjoy, right? We're in the material world. And the moment we begin to think that I want to work in cooperation with the enjoyment of Krishna, we're no longer in the material world. That's real self-realization. That I am a devotee of Krishna and I meant to cooperate with the enjoyment of Lord Krishna, to satisfy the senses of Krishna. This is self-realization. Jivaya Svarupoi Nitya Krishna Das, the eternal servant of Krishna. But in order to get to this platform, we have to change our hearing, Shrotavya. We have to hear about Krishna. We have to think about Krishna. That's why we chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. This is the process of self-realization in this age. To chant the holy name of Krishna. This will help us to come out of illusion so that we can understand the science of bhakti. As long as we remain steeped in our conditioned state, which is to be envious of one another, right? As long as we have this envy, which is ultimately enviousness of Krishna, Prabhupada said, everywhere in the material world is envious. I'm envious of you because you're envious of me. Right? There's no one-way street. Everybody's envious of everybody else in the material world. Right? Out of envy. It's only envy. So how to get rid of this envy that's within the heart? Lord Chaitanya came to this world. Although he's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he didn't come as Krishna. He came as Krishna's devotee to teach us how to serve Krishna, how to be a devotee of Krishna. He gave us a shining example. And what did Lord Chaitanya do? What was the example that he set? He performed kirtan. He congregationally chanted with the other devotees, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare. Simple process. Chanting the holy name of the Lord, dancing. Lord Chaitanya would dance with his devotees. It's stated that Vakreshwar Pandit, he was the great dancer, right? And once he danced for 72 hours continuously. In the material world, how long can they dance? A little while, a couple hours. They get tired. But if you chant Hare Krishna, you can dance and dance and dance. We saw in the example of Srila Prabhupada, he had come from India for the London Rath Yatra. 10-hour flight. The devotees that came with Srila Prabhupada were tired, right? But Srila Prabhupada went right from the airport to the temple, took a bath, got ready, and went right to the Rath Yatra. And they thought, okay, we'll put Srila Prabhupada on the cart and he'll be able to rest there. Right? So Srila Prabhupada was sitting on the cart and the Rath Yatra started in London. So many people were there. And the kirtan started. And as soon as Srila Prabhupada heard the kirtan, he got down off the cart and entered the kirtan with the devotees and began to dance and dance. And the whole way to the end of the Rath Yatra, Srila Prabhupada danced with the devotees. This is called being self-realized. Not being on the material platform. Being situated in a desire to be part of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Right? Srila Prabhupada was so absorbed in Lord Chaitanya and Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Many miraculous things would happen. Once, again in London, they were having a program in a hall. And Jamuna was leading the kirtan with playing harmonium. And Srila Prabhupada had just delivered a lecture. So at the end, they would have kirtan. All of a sudden, Srila Prabhupada stood up from the Vyasasan and began dancing very enthusiastically, looking at the back of the hall. He began to chant some mantra that Jamuna had never heard before. And she became a little bewildered. She was trying to chant Hare Krishna, but Prabhupada was chanting something else, and she stopped the kirtan. And Prabhupada told her, no, continue, continue. And Srila Prabhupada, because he was ecstatic in the kirtan, the devotees all became ecstatic and jumped into the crowd. And this crowd wasn't just young people. It was middle-aged people. You know, they had suits and ties. But they also got up and started dancing and chanting. And pretty soon everyone in the hall was dancing with the devotees. So Jamuna was thinking, I've never seen Srila Prabhupada so ecstatic. Neither has the program ever gone so wild. So after they were back at the temple in Soho Street, she asked Srila Prabhupada, the next day actually, she asked him, Srila Prabhupada, what was that last night? And Srila Prabhupada asked her, oh, you didn't see? She said, see what? And he said, Narada Muni had come to see the Malechas chant Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So the examples are there of what self-realization is. We can't imitate that. But we can follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya's followers, and our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, by always thinking of Krishna and trying to never forget Krishna, not even for a moment. If we do this, then we'll not become the victims of lamentation. Right? Everyone else, regardless of PhD, MA, B.Ed., whatever it is, B.S., it's all B.S. anyway. But whatever it is, they'll ultimately become the victims of lamentation. Why? Because no self-realization. And no means for obtaining self-realization. Right? They're not ready to do what it takes because of their attachments as Grihamedis. They work hard their whole life for their house and household members. So it becomes more and more difficult to work for Krishna. One becomes stuck in their ways. They don't know what else to do. They work so hard to earn money. And even after they earn so much money, more than they can possibly spend, still they're working hard. Right? Because they don't know what else to do. Nobody taught them how to work for Krishna. How to become pleased simply by doing something for the pleasure of Krishna. It could be anything. Right? It's not that only the pujari who puts the garland is serving Krishna, or the person who gives the lecture is serving Krishna, and this is high service. No, every service is the same. It's devotional service. Devotional service is devotional service, whatever it is. It's the intention of the performer. If someone is sincerely sweeping the temple room for the pleasure of Krishna, to keep Krishna's temple nice, Krishna's accepting that service. So, keeping the mentality very pure, understanding how to render devotional service. If a person goes to the Ganga and takes bath because he's dirty, certainly makes benefit. But if a person goes to the Ganga and takes bath because he knows that this water is flowing from the lotus feet of the Lord, and then takes bath, he gets more benefit. So rendering devotional service with knowledge, understanding why we're doing the things we're doing. And the best way to understand why we're rendering devotional service, what it means to render devotional service, is to read Srila Prabhupada's books. The more we interact with Srila Prabhupada by reading his books, the more Krishna from within our hearts will enlighten us. What is the process of self-realization? And in this way we'll become free from any type of lamentation. So are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Rudy, you say that the politics is bad. So in this way, all political people will be corruptible in the politics. So as Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one-to-one devotee should become a leader and go to parliament and lead country. Otherwise, in this way, whole world become corrupt. So we have to take some step in this way.
Well, if you're strong enough, you could. Bhaktivinoda Thakur could. It depends on your attachment to Krishna and your desire to do something for the pleasure of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada had floated a party, a political party, and one of the devotees ran for mayor in the city of Atlanta, Georgia. That was Balavanta Prabhu. And the name of the party was In God We Trust. They started the In God We Trust party, and he ran for mayor of the city of Atlanta. Right? Of course, he didn't get hardly any votes. But Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning, he was encouraging them. Encouraging them and guiding them. Right? But the devotees themselves, they went to Srila Prabhupada, and as they were getting more and more involved with this political party, the In God We Trust party, they realized that, you know, they became more interested to read Time magazine than Bhagavad Gita. And then they knew something is wrong. So they went to Srila Prabhupada and he said, okay, stop it. Drop it. Right? Same way when the devotees were, they had a festival program. It was called the Road Show. And Vishnu John Maharaj was the head of it. So they had some rock and roll performance with guitars and things like that. And they had dramas. And it was very successful preaching. They traveled all over America. They went to colleges, universities with the road show. But when Srila Prabhupada heard that the devotees that were doing the road show were not getting up early for Mangal Arati, they were sleeping late, many of them weren't chanting the rounds, he said, okay, stop it. No more road show. Right? It just depends on the strength of the devotee. Maharaj Ambarish was emperor of the whole world. Maharaj Pariksit was the king. Right? Yudhisthira Maharaj. These are powerful devotees of the Lord. They were completely sold out to the service of Krishna. So such a devotee could do. Right? It just depends on the devotee's faith. It depends on the devotee's spiritual strength. Because spiritual strength is very important. Right? You may have knowledge. And knowledge is like a sword. The sword of knowledge. Right? But if the sword is not sharp, it won't help you cut through the maya. So we sharpen the sword by rendering devotional service, by doing things for the pleasure of Krishna. Right? Then the sword becomes very sharp. The knowledge becomes keen. Right? But still, you may have a very big sword, so much knowledge, it may be very sharp also, but you require strength to pick up a sword. Strength. And I'm not talking about material strength, I'm talking about spiritual strength. Huh? Spiritual strength is different from material strength. Hmm? genuine vairagya. Genuine vairagya is different from so-called vairagya of the impersonalists, the Mayavadis. Genuine vairagya means attachment to Krishna. Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojitaha jnanyat yashu vairagyam jnanachayad ahaitukam. By rendering devotional service to Vasudeva, one automatically acquires vairagya, spiritual strength, detachment from the idea that I can enjoy in this material world. So that spiritual strength, that's required. And then, you know, anything is possible if you have that combination.
Hare Krishna. I have a comment that once His Holiness Lokanatha Swami gave a class in the temple, and he said, someone asked Srila Prabhupada, if they will make a king, they will make you king, will you accept? So then Prabhupada said that I will not accept as being a king, but I'll be prepared to be spiritual master of the king and guide him.
That's right. Srila Prabhupada said that we'll advise you. In other words, education is our line. We try to educate people wherever they are, whether they're political leaders or whatever their position. We try to educate them in the science of devotional service. Guide them. As the Brahmins were there to guide the king, the Kshatriyas. The Brahmins provided advice how the Kshatriyas should rule. And previously the Brahmins were very, very powerful. If the kings got out of line, just by their desire, the kings could be vanquished. Like in the example of King Venu. King Venu had said, stop the Vedic sacrifices, just worship me. And in that way he displeased the Brahmins. And simply by their wish, he died. Right? So from the Brahminical platform, yes, giving advice. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada, he knew that the proper form of government was a saintly king. And even if they're not saintly, it's a better form of government than the democracy. Srila Prabhupada called democracy demon crazy. Because if people aren't educated, there are hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. Right? And so who are they going to vote into power? The biggest hog, dog, camel, or ass. So demon crazy. That's what he called democracy. One of our programs is to purify people in general by requesting them to chant the holy name, by requesting them to take Krishna prasadam. And if the general populace becomes purified through prasadam and the holy name, then automatically they'll elect a purified leader. It's one of our programs. Any other questions? Yes?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji, for your class. Prabhuji, you were mentioning about that politics and that, you know, but then sometimes we are like forced to know some of the politics, like because outside they say that like you are the people who don't know anything. So like if you are staying here in this world, should know at least something of this world also. So in general, we don't get so much respect when we like, so then how to convey these people that know ours, like they say it's like general knowledge to know politics and all, if you don't know what is happening outside world and all. So
we know what's happening. How can they say we don't know what's happening? We know perfectly well what's happening. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukho doshana darshanam. Birth, death, old age and disease, that's happening. Is it not? Tell me what new is happening. Is there some kind of extraordinary happening that's going on we don't know about? It's the same old thing. Right? But we're not, how do you say, adverse to understanding the present political situation, but we see it in a different light. Right? We see it in relationship to Shastra. What Shastra says. Right? And you know, the non-devotees, they vacillate between this very, very positive mood and very, very depressed mood. Right? So they swing. There's this big swing from this to that. So devotees aren't affected by that. Right? They understand what's the nature of this world and how it's working. Because it's so vividly explained in Srila Prabhupada's books, very clear. Right? So even if you don't read anything in the newspaper, you can still understand perfectly well what's going on in the material world. Right? But if you do read the newspaper, you should understand that also in light of the Shastra. Yeah. They can say we don't know, we don't have experience of the world. But what's their experience of the world? Right? Why should we accept their experience of the world as something being valid and not our experience of the world? Because they see the world through their conditioned consciousness and conditioned eyes. And we are trying to see the world through the eyes of the Mahajans. Just like Yamaraj, the Mahajan. He's given us a perception. There's a difference between the body and the soul. And if you're stuck in understanding that you're a body, you're going to lament. Right? And that's 99% of the world's population. Well, they'll say, oh, but you're very pessimistic. You should be more optimistic. Right? But we learn from the Mahajans, this material world is not a very optimistic arrangement. Krishna says it's Dukkalayam, a place of suffering. But these persons, they don't want to understand that. They say, no, there may be some problems in this world, but we'll work hard and overcome them. But still, death comes from everyone. Old age comes from everyone. And disease comes to everyone. So what's their solution for those problems? They don't have a solution. They just hear and chant about economics and politics and science so that they can try to forget the real problem. They don't have to deal with the real problem. And they want to accuse us that, oh, you're not being realistic. We're the most realistic. We understand what is the real situation of this world. And more than that, we understand what's the real solution to this world. Problems. Krishna consciousness. They don't want to give up their sense gratification. Therefore, they're ready to blame us. Oh, you're not realistic. You're not in the reality. Yes, we're not in your reality. We don't want to be in your reality. Your reality is going nowhere fast. We'd rather be in the reality that is given to us by Shastra. It's a personal choice. And if we want to choose to be fixed in the reality given by Shastra and the path followed by the Mahajans, what's their problem? We're only offering them. If they take, fine. If they don't take, that's their business. We're not going to twist their arm. Right? But we're, as a gentlemanly, we're giving them an option. Well, look it, you say this, but then Shastra says this. And if they accept, well and good, that's Lord Chaitanya's mercy. And if they don't accept, we go to somebody else who's ready to accept. Yes? The class is not complete unless it has a question from you.
Hare Krishna. From the devotee's point of view, if he does not know what is happening in the material world, that means he is perfectly situated in Krishna consciousness. Am I correct?
No, because the devotee of the Lord knows everything that's going on in the material world. He knows what's going on. He knows everything. Why? Because he knows Krishna. There's nothing that Krishna doesn't know. Krishna knows everything. Right? He's aware. He's fully conscious. He's the supreme consciousness. There's nothing he's not aware of. And similarly, the devotee of the Lord, who's conscious of Krishna, is also aware of everything because he's aware of Krishna. You know, the Srila Prabhupada's books are filled with information what it means to be in material consciousness and to be living in the material world and experiencing conditioned life. There's volumes of information in Srila Prabhupada's books. It's all coming from Krishna. So the devotee cannot be in ignorance about anything because they know Krishna. And who is Krishna? Krishna is Vasudeva Sarvamiti. So chant Hare Krishna and automatically the devotee gets knowledge and detachment from this world and becomes free from lamentation. Non-devotees are always in lamentation, whether they're whatever, philosophers or not. Is that okay?
Perfectly okay.
Hare Krishna. All right, that's the end of the show, folks. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bhav.